The Cyclospora outbreak, now topping 18,000 cases across 45 states, is a foodborne illness crisis that hasn't received the attention it merits, partly because Cyclospora is relatively obscure and partly because the case count has accumulated slowly enough that it never produced a single dramatic news event. Cyclospora chaitanensis is a microscopic parasite typically associated with fresh produce contaminated by water carrying human fecal matter. An outbreak reaching 45 states is national in scope and suggests a contamination point somewhere in a widely distributed supply chain. The scale is more consistent with a commodity crop like fresh herbs, berries, or bagged greens than a regional product.
And the third heat dome in a month, shifting west toward Phoenix, Las Vegas, and Southern California, is the kind of story that climate scientists have been predicting in general terms for years. And we're now living through in specific terms. 70 million Americans under triple-digit temperature threat for the third consecutive heat event this July. Phoenix has been managing extreme heat for decades and has infrastructure, cooling centers, public health protocols, but even Phoenix's adaptive capacity has limits when you compound daily high temperatures above 115 degrees Fahrenheit with nights that don't drop below 95.
The compounding piece is what makes this different from a single heat event. Infrastructure takes stress damage cumulatively. Power grid strain from three consecutive air conditioning demand spikes is not linear. Each event starts with systems that are already worn. Mortality data for heat events typically lags by weeks because heat-related deaths are often coded as cardiac or respiratory causes initially, and the full toll only emerges through excess mortality analysis.
CEPI funding the first Bundibugyo Ebola vaccine as the Democratic Republic of Congo outbreak doubles every 20 days is a story that requires urgent context. Bundibugyo is one of the less well-known Ebola species. There have only been two documented outbreaks of Bundibugyo strain historically, in 2007 and 2012. The existing Merck and Johnson & Johnson Ebola vaccines were developed primarily against Zaire strain, the most common. Bundibugyo requires a different vaccine candidate, and CEPI, the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovations, funding a first clinical stage vaccine, is essentially the very beginning of the development pipeline. A doubling time of 20 days means the outbreak will have grown by a factor of 16 in the time it typically takes a phase 1 clinical trial to produce initial safety data. The vaccine cannot catch this outbreak. The question is whether it can prevent the next one.
The child's death in China's gene editing trial is a story that's going to reverberate through bioethics for years. We don't have the full clinical details publicly confirmed yet, but the parameters, a pediatric patient in a gene editing trial in China, immediately evoke the He Jiankui case from 2018, when the Chinese researcher edited embryos to create HIV-resistant babies in a trial that was conducted without adequate regulatory oversight or informed consent. The international bioethics community is watching this to determine whether the regulatory infrastructure put in place after that scandal is actually functioning.
The IEA finding that Middle East war conditions drove a 35% jump in global EV sales connects the climate segment back to the geopolitical one in a very direct way. When fuel prices become unpredictable because a critical shipping choke point is under military pressure, consumers who can afford to switch to electric vehicles do so. The 35% figure represents both the immediate price shock response and the long-term demand formation from people who simply don't want their transportation costs tied to decisions being made in the Strait of Hormuz.